Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my husband, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Hey, too often we find ourselves lacking energy, frustrated by small things, and in a mindset that feels like everything has suddenly become an obstacle. That's why this week we're going to discuss the importance of taking care of yourself and, as a leader, thinking about and taking care of others. You know that feeling about halfway through the weekend when you have finally calmed down and you enjoy, 37 minutes of relaxation, and then your brain starts up again thinking about what's coming up on Monday? It's a pretty normal cycle for people. But what is occurring is that you are wearing yourself thin. Too often in life, we feel an obligation to keep ourselves working, keep moving, and we forget to stop and take care of ourselves. We also, as leaders, see people around us doing the exact same thing. So let's explore this concept of avoiding going dull, both mentally and physically. But before we begin, I want to set your mind a little bit, and I'm going to start with one of my favorite quotes from Abraham Lincoln. And I was reminded of the quote and a story this past week while I was working alongside a group of principals in Michigan. A Lutheran pastor from South Africa started the morning with us, and he was before me, and he was setting the tone for the day. As he spoke, I remembered the story he was sharing, which I had read years ago. However, it was his passion that moved me and seeded the story in my mind. The group of Lutheran principals from all over Michigan were energized by his message, his presence, and his passion. And I'll tell you what, he was not an easy act to follow. However, he told a version of a story that I'm going to share with you, and it serves as a serious reminder that we need to take care of ourselves. Okay, first, the Lincoln quote. Lincoln said, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I'll spend the first four sharpening the axe." What Lincoln was speaking about was the idea that he would not just take a tool and begin working. Instead, he would take his task and prepare, read, study, interview, and patiently build his understanding of what needed to be done, and then he'd start swinging away. 4 hours sharpening the axe means he didn't start until he was razor sharp. So often, we as leaders jump into the situation. We move forward worrying about everything else that we need to do. We work longer and harder than we need to. And in addition, we even work until we've exhausted the usefulness of our tools, our knowledge, and worse, ourselves. Which is why when the pastor told a version of this story, I began thinking a lot about people who are in classrooms, offices, and boardrooms. How we don't take the time to reflect, relax, and sharpen our tools. So here's the story. It's called The Woodcutter, and you can Google it. Once upon a time, there was a very strong woodcutter. He asked for a job from a timber merchant, and he got it. The pay was very good, and so were the work conditions, and for that reason, the woodcutter was determined to do his very best. His boss gave him an axe and showed him the area in the forest where he was to work. The first day, the woodcutter cut down 18 trees. His boss was extremely impressed and said, "Well done, keep it up. You're our best woodcutter yet." Motivated by his boss's words, the woodcutter tried even harder the next day, but he only cut down 15 trees. The third day, he tried even harder, but only cut down 10 trees. The fourth day, he tried even harder yet, and then he only cut down 4 trees. Day after day, the woodcutter cut down fewer and fewer trees. His boss came to him and told him that if he did not cut down more trees each day, he would eventually be fired. The woodcutter needed the job, so he tried harder and harder. He worked non-stop through his breaks, through his lunches, but still he could not cut down enough trees. He thought to himself, "I'm not strong enough. There is something wrong." He worked overtime, but still, it wasn't enough. Eventually, his boss came to him and told him he'd be fired, and that, actually, he was fired. The woodcutter was very upset, but he knew that he had worked as hard as he could and just didn't get enough time to chop down more trees. So he sadly handed the axe to his boss. The boss took one look at the axe and asked, "When was the last time you sharpened your axe?" "Sharpened my axe?" the woodcutter replied. "I've never sharpened my axe. I've been too busy trying to cut down enough trees to satisfy you." Think about this in the context of your life. How often are you just chugging along and not thinking about you, your mindset, your tools, your health, your fitness, your knowledge base? How often do you work yourself past being useful? The question for you this week boils down to this. How are you staying aware of the point at which you become dull. Leadership is anyone who has influence over another person. When you have influence over other people, you have to constantly be reflecting about your sharpness, your usefulness, and your ability to support the needs of those you serve. But what if, like the woodcutter, you find yourself working more, harder, and without reflection? How do you create a process where you are successful no matter the length of time you've been working? I worked a lot of jobs when I was in college, and one of them was as a painter and carpenter. I experienced firsthand the woodcutter's issues, because when you're doing work that is routine, you get comfortable and you create habits. That is when you fail to recognize that things around you are not maintaining their usefulness or sharpness. Sandpaper, a knife, your saw blade. I saw lots of people actually get hurt doing something that they had done 100 times before because they simply stopped focusing. So, how do we avoid this? Well, there are all the usual things that you hear when you explore staying sharp: getting a good night's sleep, eating right, exercise, reading, being optimistic, socializing. Yep, check, 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 check. I'm doing all of them, and so are you. But what about when you or I don't even realize that I'm using, metaphorically, tools that are no longer sharp? What about when I've driven myself into the ground, or you've driven yourself into the ground? What about when we don't even recognize that we are literally hurting ourselves and others? Well, I have 2 strategies for you. One we've talked about before, and that's getting a mentor or a coach. Who in your life can tell you what the problem is? Who in your life has the courage to tell you that you are the problem because you've dulled yourself down? The signs of growing dull are not easily recognized by yourself unless you're paying attention or have someone to tell you that you're dull and need to sharpen the axe. I'm a firm believer in having a coach or a mentor who you can trust and will be very frank with you. I found myself in a coaching meeting 5-6 years ago, and my coach Dan started the meeting by looking at me and stepping back. He said to me, "My God, Ted, you look like shit. Taki mushrooms." I'm just trying to keep it clean here. But I said, "Hey, what are you talking about? I had a good night's sleep last night. I had a run this morning, and I just finished a great discussion with my colleagues. I was actually feeling at the top of my game." Key word there was I was feeling. Truth is, he knew I wasn't anywhere near the top of my game. He actually called me a flat tire. Told me that, sure, a car can roll on a flat tire, but not very effectively, and eventually the tire will wreck as well as the wheel. He forced me to reflect, and as we were speaking, I heard myself say things like, "Well, I haven't been home for dinner on a weeknight for probably 2 weeks, and next week I think I might be home one night. I talked about doing research for my doctoral program and how I was getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning on weekends so that when the kids got up, I could do things with them. I spoke about how the weekends were filled then with other obligations for the kids and how everything was basically a blur." I'm pretty sure you've been there. But here was what was different. Dan did something that I've never forgotten, and now I actually do for others. He said he wanted to view my electronic calendar on my computer. Now, I love Dan, and he loved me. But what he did next almost got him punched in the throat. He began deleting my appointments. Yeah, here was my coach, whom I pay to be my coach, erasing my professional obligations. I lost my mind. I slammed my laptop shut and told him, "Get out. What do you think you're doing?" He sat there smiling at me, and it enraged me. I said, "What do you think you're doing? What is so funny?" He said, "You've lost your bearings, Theodore. No one in 15 years will remember that you didn't go to the Rotary shrimp boil, or a library board meeting, or the ribbon cutting for a new auto parts store. But Grace and Charlie, your children, they'll remember that their dad was never home for dinner." Like the woodcutter, I needed someone to hold me accountable and make me think. That was a pivotal moment in my life, and from that point on, when I had to decide between 2 obligations, one being my family, I just asked myself, in 15 years, will they remember? Oh, that immediately makes me sharp. I also did the next thing Ed is urging, and that is the 2nd strategy for staying sharp. If you don't have a coach like I do, then you need to create a process to stay sharp. The beauty of the Lincoln quote is that it is proactive versus reactive. Lincoln said if given 6 hours to cut down a tree, he'd spend 4 sharpening his axe. That's proactive. He's going to be ready. So the strategy to make you proactive and keep you sharp is a day. Yep, one day, 24 hours. Put on your calendar time for you to sharpen. I know you're probably like, I can't do that. Why? Is it because in the United States we operate off of the old ideal that idle hands are the devil's workshop? That we are always supposed to be working, moving, productive? Well, I learned that I needed to put a day on my calendar about every 45 days where I could look forward to TED time. It was simply a day to run a little longer, read a little more, take a nap, and do nothing, or just simply catch up, which frankly, I'm not good at. The reality of life is that some of you right now are rolling your eyes and saying, huh, must be nice to take a day for yourself and do nothing. If that is how you responded to me saying that out loud, guess what? You're dull. You've worked yourself into a cynical mindset where you're not even cognizant of the fact that you're swinging the axe wildly and not getting the results you need. I've met plenty of leaders that believe they don't need a coach, that they're fine, that their actions are those they need to do, that's how it is, that's what you need to do to serve other people because they're that important. These are people who suffer from arrogantitis. That's right, arrogantitis. They have forgotten who they are supposed to be, who they need to be for themselves, and have put themselves ahead of everything else, and as a result, their axe is actually just a hammer that couldn't even cut down a tree. Please don't email me the exception of Thor's hammer. Anyway, what will you do to avoid not even being able to recognize that you've grown dull? The two strategies that we just talked about are critical, as are having social networks, service work, and connectivity to materials and resources to keep you informed and motivated. But most importantly, who in your life can you depend upon to tell you the truth? And who is in your life that needs you to do it for them? Teachers, you have students who are frazzled by their parents and being run in a million directions, who are growing up believing that they're supposed to run until exhausted. You have colleagues that believe that to be their best, that they have to make sacrifices and burn the oil all the time. Professionals, you work alongside people who are busting their hump and not getting any results. Well, that is because no one in their life is tapping them on the shoulder and saying, excuse me, have a seat. Could I please see your axe? Sometimes we need to take away the tool, show them the problem, assist them in sharpening it, allow them to rest, and then help them get back to it with the same tools, same habits, and same energy. But one difference, a sharpened blade that was dull before it was in your hands. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe how you can sharpen yourself before you get dull. List the people in your life that you could ask to help you stay sharp. And go into your calendar and block off the time to create your day to catch up, sharpen up, and proactively prepare. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please remember to share this on your platform. If you're interested in getting coaching, email me and I can share with you our process or put you in touch with people in your region. And thanks to my awesome CISA 6 team for all that they do and the Well Pennies for their great music. Finally, thank you to my new friends in Michigan. They introduced me to Pastor Mandla Kumalo. His discussion with us sparked this episode, but also saved me a little physical pain. I'm a runner and I run 6 days a week, anywhere between 3 and 5 miles a day. The last month, I've been experiencing significant knee pain at weird times, while driving, sitting, going upstairs, etc. It's been bothering me. And as Pastor Kumalo was talking, it reminded me that I needed to sharpen the saw. You see, about 13 years ago, I was being inserted into an MRI tube by a nurse, and she was asking me why I was having my knees looked at. I told her that I was experiencing pain and could no longer run. As the tube was closing in on me and I was worrying about needing surgery as well as paying the thousands of dollars to have the MRI done, she asked me a question. When was the last time you bought new running shoes? The tube now completely surrounded me and I laid there and knew why my knees hurt. I had worn out my shoes. So Pastor Kumalo, your sharpen the axe story saved me pain. I remembered that my running shoes were getting pretty old, that I had been too busy to buy new shoes and that was the root of my knee issue. As soon as we had a break in Michigan, I stepped out in the hallway, went online on my phone, and when I got back from Michigan, there were new shoes on my porch. I went for 2 runs, and guess what? My knees are back to normal. I now have a reminder in my calendar to get new shoes, and I have God and Pastor to thank for reminding me to sharpen my saw. So don't forget this week that you may be experiencing a little pain, frustration, or even exhaustion, and the answer to your issue is simple. Find a good friend, or just simply take some time to rest and reflect. Buffalo leaders charge into storms, but they also take time to lazily graze and enjoy the sunshine once in a while. So try it and be great this week for yourself and others.
There you stand in the cradle. you imagine any way you can. Anything that's better than just hold my hand. Won't you jump on in, you beautiful thing? It may be the only thing that ever redeems. Go and do, the river's right.